It's time for Taking Care of Business on Midlands 103. With thanks to the local enterprise offices of Leash, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.
Midlands 103.
Hello and good evening. It's Tuesday, the 7th of February. I'm Ronan Berry and you're very welcome to Taking Care of Business here on Midlands 103. Coming up between now and 8 o'clock, the CEO of the Arab-Irish Chamber of Commerce will be along because recent reports have suggested that Irish exports to Arab states have reached an all-time high, increasing by 23% for 2022. Totaling over 2.2 billion euros worth of goods exported. So where did the opportunities for Midlands-based businesses lie? Well, find out from just around 7:30 this evening. Also, if you want to unleash your full potential, you can do so at the upcoming Leash Jobs Fair. The CEO of Leash Chamber Alliance, Carolyn Hoffman, will be along shortly to give you all the details around the day that's been planned for that career workshop. You'll be able to look at your CV. You'll be able to meet a lot of the big employers from around this region. They'll have all cutting edge jobs and on show as well. Now, to put a little bit of context on that and show why Leash and indeed the Midlands can be a great place to work, we'll also be joined by Terry Byrne of Choice People. And Terry actually made the move from Dublin down to Leash a number of years ago. So he is a perfect example of what can be achieved. So lots coming up there at that Leash Jobs Fair too. Also, the Midlands 103 Green Home and Energy Expo will take place this coming Sunday in the Tullamore Court Hotel in association with Electric Ireland's Super Homes. I'll have all the details on that to finish out this evening's show. If you want to be part of this evening's show too or put any questions to any of tonight's guests, as always, you can get me. The quickest and most efficient way to do so is by text or WhatsApp on 083 3010 103. Powered, of course, by the home of Offaly's top-selling car brand, Lamb Brothers Toyota, on the Arden Road in Tullamore. But speaking of all things cars, one thing, if you want to buy a car, you want to get motoring, you do need to have completed a driving test, particularly when it comes to looking at your insurances as well. And I know certainly from the time I first started driving and, you know, those year or two on the provisional before I finally passed the test and all the usual stuff, it was a lot simpler. You kind of went and did a few lessons, you picked up a few key points and you chanced your arm at the test and you got put through the ringer and, you know, came out the right side of that. Things have changed a lot since then, particularly with requirements on learners to do a set number of lessons, and you have to drive, you know, with your R sign up for the first couple of years as well. So it's got a lot more complex, and I suppose you can understand why, when you think all those years ago you could go out and pass your driving test and head for Dublin straight away, even if you'd never driven on a motorway or a main road before. So things are certainly changing, and one local man whose voice will be well known to you all, Joe Wynn, has set up a Wynn School of Motoring here in Tullamore, and Joe joins me in studio now. And I have to say, he's going for the award for the most dapper guest I've ever had, because he's a bit of a dual player. He's going to a gig after this and he's the most fantastic looking blue blazer on him, so definitely he's turned out well for Taking Care of Business this evening. Joe, you're very welcome. Why a driving school?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for having me. Why a driving school? Very simple. During the pandemic, I retrained as a road safety authority lecturing in CPCs for professional drivers. And I was travelling up and down to Dublin, giving these lectures, giving the CPC programmes. And the company that I was working with had said to me, there's a huge demand for driving instructors. Would you be interested in it? Initially, I thought, not too interested in it. I don't think I'd have the temperament. And they said, you are exactly the kind of man who would wear a blue jacket like this, dressed for radio. You have the temperament indeed for a driving instructor. I thought about it a little bit and went and retrained in Dundalk with the RSA and trained as a driving instructor. And I absolutely love it.
And is that training, is it all kind of hands-on or is it a blend of virtual stuff? How does it, you know, does it take long to train then as a driving instructor too?
So to train as a driving instructor, there are three modules. There's stage one, which is driver theory and theory training. Stage two is a driving test in the particular category that you wish to teach in. I currently hold the categories for car, a B license, car and trailer BE, and I do minibus and coach, so the D1 and D category license, and I'm qualified to train in those. And then finally, I'm about to take on the truck and Arctic truck in Dundalk in March. The final stage is a driving instruction. So you are brought out by a driving tester, and you have to give them an instruction as you would give to a potential student. One is a student who's just learning to drive, has very little driving experience, and you're taking them out on the main road. And then the other is somebody who has sadly not passed their test on first attempt, but they have been given guidance as to what they need to work on, and they ask you to help and assist them so they can pass their test the next time. That's the category. It took about a year's full-time training to qualify.
Was your previous employer correct? Is there a big demand out there?
Currently, there is 47,000 people on a waiting list for a driving test. We're very fortunate in the Midlands. We have a great centre in Birr dealing with cars, car and jeep and trailer only now at the moment. But here in Tullamore, we have a fantastic test centre. It deals with all categories from motorbike right through to truck, Arctic, coach, minibus, jeep and trailer and car. And we have a number of testers here, and they're very, very approachable. They're very, very easy to deal with, easy to get on with, and they give great feedback at all times. They're very, very approachable here.
Absolutely, and because again, that's a staggering the number of people waiting on a test too, especially now. But again, you touched on it at the start though, with the likes of the CPCs, when the real focus went and gave particularly professional driving, you know, if you're driving as a career, it gave it that kind of respect that it needed, and put that emphasis on, I suppose, the driver being in control of everything as well in terms of their own education. And I think it really empowered drivers, and it's fantastic to see. But even from the point of view of just your average citizen driver too, there's a lot more onus on them now, much more requirements going to the test as well. Does the test though change at all over the years? Like, or would it still be the same test essentially that I sat a few years ago?
The test, it does evolve. It does evolve. It certainly evolves over time. A good example of that, I would have people get into the car and say, Mum or Dad told me I hold the steering wheel at 10 to 2. 10 to 2 is the perfect place to hold the steering wheel. And then you've got to go and say, well, when your mum and dad done the driving test just a couple of years ago, like yourself, Ronan, things have moved on and progressed a little bit more. And now with airbag technology, we think it's better to hold the steering wheel at 2:45. And therefore, if the airbag was ever deployed and your hands are at 2:45, they're not going into your face, they're forming a defence mechanism. That's a simple tip that we would give to somebody starting out to drive for safer driving as the years progress. But you say about the RSA have implemented a great system where you do your 12 essential driver training lessons. They're 12 one-hour sessions you do with a driving instructor, and for car tests. You cannot sit your car test until you have a provisional license for 6 months and 2 weeks. And then you must complete the 12 lessons, the 12 one-hour lessons in that time before you can apply to sit the test. But is the test difficult? If you come to Wynn School of Motoring, we'll ensure that you will breeze through the test on a clear page. You'll be getting your license and all will be good.
You have to say that, of course, but I like how you touch on there how even holding the steering wheel, given advancements in things like airbag technology as well. Is there a shift kind of happening too in terms of types of car people are driving? Because, you know, when all cars are eventually electric, and even now there's so many more automatics, like, are people now choosing to just be trained in automatic cars, or is that really percolating down to the Midlands yet?
There is. Lately, you notice that there's a lot more focus on people looking for an automatic. There is certainly a move towards from manual cars towards the automatic. We teach both manual and automatic. And for electric cars, there are people coming with electric cars who are going to do their test. If you sit a manual car license, you hold a manual license, no problem at all. If you sit an automatic one, you only hold an automatic license. However, one change that has been brought in recently that's very beneficial to people is if you sit a manual car license, and let's say you're a farmer or you have a child involved in the equestrian industry and you have a jeep and trailer, you can sit an automatic jeep and trailer test in an automatic jeep and hold a license for both a manual and automatic jeep and trailer or any other category greater than a car once you hold a car license in a manual category.
I suppose that makes sense because it's more about the movements and the control of the trailer as opposed to the vehicle being driven in. But from the point of view of businesses then, you kind of touch on it actually with me just off air that sometimes you get people coming to you looking to get a driving license because maybe they've taken on a job and maybe part of that is that somebody will have a full clean driving license and it mightn't always be the case. Surely that's not happening out there in reality, is it?
Not at all. Not at all. Not at all. It's very, very simple. Sometimes people come to you and they've had been driving on a provisional for several years. Sometimes they've never got around to taking the test. Sometimes it's fear of taking the test. It's kind of like the leaving certificate. When you're going to sit the leaving certificate, it's the biggest, baddest, most dangerous exam. Oh my God, all you think of is the leaving cert. And you sit your leaving cert, and after you've passed it, you think, what was all the worry for? Well, if you want to get rid of the worry and you want to get rid of all that fear of any driving test, talk to me at Wynn School of Motoring and I will gladly help you get through, and you'll be motoring legally with your license in no time at all.
People, of course, will find you across all the main social media channels. Do you sing to any of your test subjects now?
I don't, because if I sing, I have to close my eyes. That's the, like Christy Moore said, when I sing, I close my eyes, so
answer,
I won't.
Answer. So yeah, if you're doing a driving test with Joanie, start singing, keep your eye on the road anyway. Joe, thanks a million, all the best. I know you have to pop off now, you have a gig as well later on this evening, so congrats to you on setting up the school last year, and it sounds like it's a roaring success, and hopefully you keep motoring on that.
Thanks a million.
That's Joe Wynn there of Wynn School of Motoring, based here in Tullamore. Big kind of an addition or a slight career change there. And it's amazing when you can spot an opportunity and begin to fill a gap. And over 40,000 people waiting on a test of some sort in the country. Sounds like it's a badly needed service too. Still to come on Taking Care of Business, the CEO of the Arab Irish Chamber of Commerce will be along to talk about the potential for Midlands businesses to export to the Arab states. Exports to the Arab states have increased by over 23% in 2022 alone compared to the year before. That's a total of 2.2 billion euros worth of goods. So plenty of opportunities across many sectors. More on that in about 10 or 15 minutes time. Before that though, if you're looking at a career change, or you're looking at moving from one of the big urban centres back down to County Laois, or for whatever reason you might be going out searching for a new job, a change of direction, there's an event coming up for you on the 20th of February. It's the Laois Jobs Fair, and to find out all about it, I'm delighted to be joined in studio by the CEO of Laois Chamber Alliance, Caroline Hoffman, and also by Terry Byrne of Choice People. And we'll hear from Terry very shortly too. Terry made the decision about 6 years ago to relocate from Dublin down to County Laois, and he can extol all the virtues of what living in the Midlands brings, as well as developing a great career. It's a fantastic place to live, so don't take my word for it. We'll talk to Terry on that very, very shortly. Caroline, the Jobs Fair is back, and I can only imagine huge demand.
Good evening, Ronan. So we're delighted to be back this year for the third annual Jobs Fair. Unfortunately, it couldn't go ahead in 2021 because of the COVID pandemic. But between the 2020 and 2022 events, we had 4,000 attendees. So this year, we're back, we're bigger than ever. We have 40 exhibitors, hundreds of roles, and we have an added benefit this year for attendees as well with the Unleash Your Full Potential stage. So very cheesy tagline, but we think it works. So we'll be kicking off at 12:30 at that speaker stage with a career coach, Claire Kelly. So we'll also have an employer bite-size session, which is an information session for local companies, for exhibitors to come along and see what supports, what training is available for your company, and what financial supports are available for your businesses as well. And that's with the LOETB and the local enterprise office. So those are 15, 20 minute sessions. Come along, see what's available. There might be something out there that you're not aware of. We'll also be looking at wellbeing at work, third level opportunities with TUS, SETU and Carlow College, apprenticeships and traineeship information sessions with the LOETB, and careers in the EU as well. So the European Commission office will be travelling down from Dublin to talk a bit about careers in the EU. And we also have a CV and interview workshop with HR and employment law expert Sinead Grehan of Iridium HR. So lots going on. Doors open from 12 p.m. to 7 p.m. All the information you need is on laoisjobsfair.ie, where you can also register for your free ticket.
Have you any idea at the minute even how many jobs are potentially going to be up for grabs that day?
There's hundreds. We haven't calculated it, but it's looking to be hundreds. So if you log on to the Laois Jobs Fair website, you can look at the company profiles, you can see what roles they're recruiting for. It's a great opportunity to go along, whether you're a graduate looking for a change of career, or even if you're a second level student, come along and see what apprenticeship opportunities are out there, what third level opportunities are out there. So there really is something for everyone.
Do you find that, is the demand coming from some of the exhibitors too, about looking at that route of apprentices? Because it's often a what a fantastic route into a career for younger people, and one that, despite all the publicity on it for the last couple of years, I think is still being ignored a little bit. Would you agree with that?
I'd agree, and that's why we're pushing it, Ronan. Apprenticeships, they're so broad. It's your traditional, you know, electricians, builders, fitters, roles like that. But you can also look at an apprenticeship in financial services, engineering. It's really so broad, and there's even, you know, apprenticeships through postdoctoral research as well. UL are offering that, which is very interesting to see.
Yeah, there's not an area at the minute that really that there isn't an opportunity into, and fantastic to see organisations like the LOETB backing that as well as the higher education, the C2 and of course TUS in Athlone as well. They can bring, I suppose, a range of upskilling offerings for people as well. So somebody maybe was looking at transitioning in roles and they're looking to maybe get that final piece in the jigsaw, they'll have all the services or all the courses they currently have on offer as well.
Exactly. Look, you can go along, meet the representatives, see what graduate opportunities are there. They also offer flexible learning opportunities. The LOETB, who are one of our sponsors, along with Leo Leash, they can talk to you about how to meet your training needs in your company as well. So it's very broad in terms of an offering, and I'd encourage everybody to come along, see what's out there.
Terry, Caroline has been on this show many times over the last couple of years, and on Will Faulkner on Midlands Today as well, and we often talk, and her and her colleagues both in the likes of the Chamber, in the County Councils, and all the various different business units in Laois always say Laois is a great place to work, and 30,000 people every day drive out of Laois, go to all across the country and then come home again at night. And why don't people just make the move and do that reverse commute and actually come and live in Laois? Mm-hmm. You did that about 6 years ago.
I did indeed, yeah, Ronan. So
what prompted the move?
Well, so I suppose I grew up in Dublin, and I lived away for a few years, and then I came back, and I was working there as well in Dublin. And I suppose what prompted the move was, when you move away, you get a bit of perspective on life quality, on what's important to you. And then when you have a family as well, there's certain things that you value more. So from my perspective, it was a no-brainer to move to Laois. Number one, I'm big into my outdoors, so I have, you know, countless things within 20 minutes of my doorstep. I found just the city life is in big cities. You're always concerned with the traffic, you're always concerned with how long everything was going to take you, how busy it was going to be. And I find that there's a good balance in Laois between both. There's a lot of activity, but yet it's quite enough that you can enjoy the amenities that are in the area.
Was the original role you took, was that with Choice People?
So I was originally working as a leisure manager for Nuffield Health. So that was in the leisure industry. And I went back and studied human resources and business studies. And then I moved to Choice People Recruitment. So we're based in Clamynan Business Park in Port Laois. We'll also actually be at the jobs fair. And yeah, it's been fantastic. I mean, I'm a 20 minute max commute to work every day.
That's not a commute.
we've got a hybrid option as well. So, you know, working from home is available if we need it. But yeah, I've a fantastic team that I work with. I suppose I haven't looked back since.
Take us to a Choice People as well. What are your kind of prime areas for recruiting? Like, you know, hospitality is one of them. So obviously, yeah, Leaning on those skills that you had developed before.
Yeah. So we recruit for hospitality, but we also recruit for commercial businesses in many different sectors across Laois, both kind of locally, nationally. The wonders of Zoom, and I suppose COVID gave us that we're able to work with someone in, you know, whether it be Donegal, Cork, Dublin, and we can also work outside as well. But we do focus a lot here with local companies, and you know, it's fantastic to be a part of the Laois Chamber as well. We have our monthly meetings, and we get to meet other businesses around the area.
We know that, you know, at this point in time we're at full employment in this country, like as in the unemployment rate is at an all-time low. Are you seeing that within Choice People as well, that, like, you know, lots of roles are already filled? Like, is it becoming harder to find people, or how is the industry itself adapting to kind of, you know, meet the needs of clients now, given that it's pretty much full jobs market out there?
Mm. So, yeah, I mean, in hospitality, it has been getting better. It has been improving. There are good candidates out there. It's finding the good candidates and retaining them. With regards to attitude, yeah, and I suppose part of working with a recruitment agency, I suppose the benefit of that is I suppose we are the middle person, so we can speak to the candidate. Maybe if their expectations are unrealistic, for example, we can maybe give them a bit more info about the industry and benchmarking salaries, benefits, etc. Obviously, it is a candidate's market at the moment. It's low unemployment, so we are seeing that. But you know, I'd definitely be cautiously optimistic for the future.
When you say, you know, maybe demands might be a bit high, if we look at people's demands, have they changed? Like, has it really happened that maybe coming out of the pandemic, that what people are looking for has changed, and that whole thing, if it's not just money anymore, is that actually ringing true?
Absolutely, absolutely. And what we're seeing as well, I suppose company culture is massive now. A lot of people, a question I'd ask a lot of potential candidates will be, you know, what are the top three things that are most important? And it's not always salary that's number one. Company culture, a good working environment is very important. And also, I suppose, with regards to working options, people like the idea of having a hybrid option. But companies are, I suppose, now starting to encourage people to come back to work, face-to-face interviews. And people miss that. And over COVID, people miss that that personal interaction, the interaction with people. And it's very hard to replace that. So I think the combination is maybe the winner in the end.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you. I think during COVID, we had to adapt to the situation we found ourselves in. And I think people just got used to that kind of scenario. But then when people started re-engaging a little bit again, they realised, actually, this is quite good. And you can see the benefits from team perspective and, you know, even from innovation and creativity. And had that discussion actually with two of the guests on the show last week that, yeah, they can see it making a difference. I suppose for you, it's been clear about the role, what the expectations are in terms of, you know, physical time in the office, etc., and just matching that person. But in hospitality, you know, for many, as long as I've been doing the show, over 5 years now, there's the challenges in that sector are widely reported. How do you overcome them? I mean, are there any chefs available in this country to fill any roles if they come vacant?
Yeah, I mean, it is a challenge. Of course, it is a challenge at the moment. But I, you know, with regards to employers, it's very important that, you know, their job specs are clear, they're concise. Yes, there is a lot of, I suppose, opportunity. There's a lot of opportunity for people to change position. There's a lot of, how would I say, you know, there's a lot of counter offers now at the moment as well.
I'm picturing kind of like Wall Street. You see in the movies, like, with guys just shouting offers. You know, that's not how it works at all.
Yeah. but you know, I think the good companies, the people invest, you know, in their people, to create a good company culture, and you know, they're the ones that will retain, and that's, you know, of course, you know, we need to benchmark with regards to salary, benefits, etc. But the good companies will retain, and that does happen.
Yeah, and once we can advertise jobs with salaries or a salary scale on them, that's a big bugbear of mine, and I think a few people would agree as well. But sometimes, you know, at least you can start matching expectations if we know what the kind of outside parameters are anyway.
Absolutely.
So Terry, no regrets obviously coming to Laois.
Absolutely no regrets, no. Absolutely
Terry.
Love it here.
So if you're listening or you know somebody who would like to do like Terry has done, or maybe he's just looking for that new opportunity in Laois around the Midlands as well, they can attend the Midlands or the Laois Jobs Fair that's taking place on the 20th of February. Carolyn, I'll go back to you for the last word as well. I mean, you've said it, there's hundreds of jobs, possibly even more, I'd say, going to be an offer on the day, plus plenty of opportunities for apprenticeships and higher education and all the workshops as well. Give us some of the key points again. It starts at 12 p.m.
So 12 to 7pm, you're welcome to come at any of those times, between any of those times, sorry. Your ticket's free. You can book it on laoisjobsfair.ie. We'll have a speaker stage as well throughout the day. So have a look at the schedule and see what you're interested in. Pop in and out. There's going to be jobs across all sectors, insurance, manufacturing, engineering, healthcare, hospitality and administration, to name just a few. An Garda Síochána will also be there, as well as the Laois County Fire Service. So really a broad range of opportunities, high quality roles. As Terry said, the work-life balance is so important. There's a lot of housing going on as well in Laois at the moment, which is very positive to see, particularly with Junction 17 now fully sold and 500 to 600 jobs coming on stream when that's fully constructed. So very positive time for the county.
Those housing units obviously be critical importance. I mean, it's a topic that is popping up on the show and on Midlands Today almost every day at this stage as well. So some good news coming there in the county.
Absolutely.
To support those very businesses and indeed all those new employees who might find work or indeed a change of career in County Laois over the coming couple of months. Caroline and Terry, thank you so much for coming across this evening. All the very best with that, with the Laois Jobs Fair that's taking place on the 20th of February, 12 to 7. No, you can go on to laoisjobsfair.ie. You can book your place there and attend anytime that suits. And, you know, like, chances are there is something there that will be of interest and indeed will suit you. Thanks a million, guys.
Thank you very much, Ronan.
For more than 30 years now, the Arab-Irish Chamber of Commerce has been facilitating exports from this country to the Arab world, arranging and processing all the requisite documents and making it easier for Irish and indeed Midlands companies to do business with those Arab countries. Something is clearly working very well because in 2022, exports to Arab states have reached an all-time high, increasing by 23% for the year in comparison to 2021. Therefore, the region without doubt presents huge opportunities for many Midlands companies. This report was commissioned by the AICC and it was compiled by the economist Jim Power as well. And some of the key figures in it are quite staggering. We look at, you know, 2.2 billion euros worth of exports alone to the Arab states in the first 9 months of 2022. To find out more about where these opportunities lie and what your business should consider if it would like to begin doing business with some of the Arab states, I am delighted to be joined by Mr. Ahmad Yunus. He's the CEO of the Arab-Irish Chamber of Commerce. A very good evening, Ahmad. This is clearly a region that a lot of Irish companies have begun to focus on, but there's huge potential based on Jim Power's report. Can you take us through some of the figures in the report already and where those 2.2 billion euros of exports are typically coming from?
Hello, Ronan. Yeah, thank you very much for the introduction. Look, it's been a great success story for Ireland over the years, and there's been no surprise from our side in the Arab-Irish Chamber of Commerce in the amazing nearly 23% increase in the first 9 months of 2022, close to 2.2 billion. Also, Ronan, if you actually include services, that's another 4 billion added onto the 2.2 billion. Ireland is an open economy. It's a small open economy. It has done very well on its exports. One of the greatest success for Ireland is Ireland exports 90% of its goods, and the Arab states imports 90% of its goods and services. So, you know, taken back from 1987, exports to the Arab world were at 325 million. Not to bore you too much with figures, but they're at 325 million. And as of today, just merchandise exports at 2.2 billion. The Arab states, Ronan, consists of 21 Arab countries with a population of 444 million, which represents about, you know, 5.5% of the world's population, and it's set to exceed by 500 million by 2028. So the biggest drivers, you would say, is the Irish-based multinationals, which is no surprise there. They've been one of the greatest success stories from us. What are the export products? You've got essential oils and perfumes, which accounts to 41% of the exports. You know, you've got medicine, pharmaceutical, which is 32% of the exports. And then the rest of that would be food. And then the SMEs would also follow from that as well.
Yeah, you can imagine food in particular. I mean, even things like dairy products. I mean, sometimes in this country, we take it for granted about the dairy products and the world-leading and world-class dairy products we have on our doorstep. But they're highly sought-after products in the Arab states too.
Oh, most definitely, yeah. The international reputation, you know, the way people see Ireland, they see it as a very strong product. You know, you don't have to look too hard by looking at your window and seeing green in Ireland. The Irish agriculture is regarded as very, very good quality, you know. And also, one of the biggest drivers is there's four airlines going on a daily basis to the Arab states. So you can, it's easier to connect people. Air freight is happening at a lot quicker way. And then also, the biggest drivers and the biggest success stories is, you know, Enterprise Ireland, Bord Bia, the Irish embassies. They've all opened their places there. They've all tried to push the Irish brand. You know, it's a great success story when you land in one of the Arab states, you know, one of the Irish Enterprise Ireland or Bourbier were there to greet you and show you or guide you of what way you can sell your products or what way to brand your products. I always have a saying, Ronan, that make your connections to help you make your decision. You know, you have to be there to try and sell your product. You got to make your connections in the Arab states. You know, the UAE alone represents over 10,000 Irish expats who are living in the UAE, who have families based there. And also in the last 11 years, there's been a huge success story from two of the biggest Arab countries opening embassies here. You know, you have Saudi opened here, you have UAE have opened embassies here only 2 years ago. Algeria have opened an embassy here. Morocco, Egypt, all these countries have seen the opportunities in Ireland and how it is. It's a great success story in doing business with Ireland.
DJ, we even see it here ourselves, like even for the department, there's been a lot of ministerial visits and kind of trade missions over to the Arab states as well. And we're beginning to see, I suppose, the fruits of that labour. I mean, if you look at the likes of Saudi Arabia, population of over 35 million people, and it's the largest importer of Irish goods in the AICC member countries. I mean, you're talking something like 627 euro million worth of goods in the first three quarters of last year alone. But even moving on to countries like Algeria and Egypt, like people are probably surprised here that Egypt is the world's 11th largest dairy importer. So again, you begin to see where there are potential opportunities, especially given the size the likes of the dairy herd in this country and the amount of dairy produce we can produce as well. So, but when it comes down to doing business then, you've mentioned that whole thing about connecting, and with business it was always people connecting with people. If somebody in the Midlands right now is looking at making inroads and really beginning to scope out the market in these Arab countries, what are the best routes they can go and what are the key things they need to look out and consider?
Do your market research. You know, you have to see if your brand or your product will work in the Arab world. And the great helping hand which you have, not only us in the Arab Irish Chamber of Commerce that we can help you when you're exporting, but also, you know, you've got people on the ground. Make your connections. You know, you spoke about Saudi Arabia. There's representatives of Enterprise Ireland and Bourbier, and there's an Irish embassy in Saudi Arabia. So that's a huge advantage for yourself, you know. Like whatever you have, whether you're selling a software, whether you're selling a pharmaceutical product, whatever you're selling, food, there's always something there for you to do your market research. Now, Ronan, it doesn't come easy. There is competition there. You might be flying back and forward. You know, you don't see much results. So it's very important to make those connections. It's very important to do your research. And also, Ireland has a huge advantage that there's actually, you know, for example, in UAE, in Saudi, in Jordan, in Qatar, there's the Saudi Ireland Business Association. There's the UAE Irish Business Association. There's the Qatar Irish Business Association. And they're all there, Irish people who are leading these groups, who are looking to help people when they land to exchange ideas or views or phone numbers.
When you look at then those areas that we've kind of touched on where there's huge growth in, obviously, a bit like Ireland, with a growing population that's going to grow rapidly over the next couple of decades, there's going to be increased demand for food, there's going to be increased demand for all other services. Are there any areas in particular, as in sort of areas of technology or maybe in luxury goods or luxury food products that people should pay particular attention to, given that we have so many of those luxury foods being produced here in the Midlands and indeed some luxury goods as well? Any areas in particular do you think that will be potentially a wide open market in the Arab states?
Well, from the economic report we actually produced with Jim Power, we did analyse and we did predict, look, the opportunities that people need to look into would be the food sector. There's, you know, the pharma and the medical center. There's the healthcare center. Definitely agriculture, advice and training. The construction, you know, there's need for engineers, there's need for architects. Education, there's a lot of Irish teachers going out there on a yearly basis, educating the Arab students out in the Middle East. And renewables, definitely there's big opportunities in the renewables. Infrastructure, aviation is a huge thing. You know, there's over four airlines landing into Ireland and flying into the Arab world. You've got the Emirates, you've got Etihad, you've got Egyptian Air, you've got Qatar Airways. And then also the tourism sector. So, as I said, you know, you have to do your market research. You have to see the own opportunities. That will your brand, will your product work there?
And is the tourism sector, is that something that could work both ways too? Like, would people from the Arab states have a genuine interest in seeing more of Ireland and maybe learning more about where those products are coming from?
Yeah, definitely. That's why I think Tourism Ireland actually have a representative in the GCC countries at the moment. I think it was a representative in UAE and Saudi, trying to fly the Irish flag and showing them the beautiful Greenland and the cliffs of Moher, that there's lovely tourist areas for people to travel here from the Arab world to Ireland. You know, definitely there is.
Yeah, it is. It's encouraging to hear that there is such a presence on, you know, in those states as well, like both from, say, an enterprise level, but also looking at tourism and all those various opportunities. You know, Board B, they're again showcasing the very best of what Irish food has to offer. So, simple message is clear, like, you know, it might be 2.2 billion euros worth of exports in the first 9 months of 2022, but there's massive potential for more growth.
Yeah, definitely. It's amazing. And Ireland's got a great success story. When it started in the 80s, there was just beef going to the Middle East. But now it has diversified so much. You know, you've got from skin care to pharmaceuticals to the multinationals. And there's also great little stories that you hear of. You know, we've one of our customers, and he's based in Monaghan. He sells eggs, Nest Box eggs. And it's a great story to actually explain the delicacy of the egg, that there's egg from Monaghan getting onto the airline, and it's been shipped to the Arab world. And then somebody within 24 hours, 48 hours, is actually having a boiled egg that came from Monaghan.
Wow.
And yeah, and that all started by the gentleman from Nest Egg going on a trade mission with Board B when Simon Coveney was Minister of Agriculture, which I attended as well. And the simplicity of explaining to the minister what he does, and the minister said, that's a great story. And then from there, it just moved on that he got to meet people who work in supermarkets, you know, buyers, and it just became a great success story. And it's lovely to hear.
Absolutely.
You know, there's lots of those success stories.
And I can imagine when you mention counties like Monaghan on the border as well, I mean, it throws up that question, has Brexit had an impact on this, like particularly as Irish eyes went looking elsewhere to see where they could maybe initially fill a gap in a market that might have come when Brexit hit home. Is this a product of Brexit actually happening?
No, well, Brexit shows us that we have to widen our minds or our eyes to see that there's actually, you know, there's other countries other than Britain. Like at the moment, you know, exports to Britain is a lot more than the Middle East, because obviously the relationship between Ireland and Britain has been there way, way longer. But in the last close to 40 years, you know, the exports and services that Ireland has to offer the Arab world has increased dramatically. And that's the great success story from Ireland. You know, there isn't, when we talk about trade, it's all about relationships. And Ireland has a great name and a great brand as nice people that we can communicate. And that has a huge advantage for the Irish people of being selling their own brand or their products. And also, don't forget, we in Ireland, I always say, we in Ireland are the only English-spoken country in the EU, which is a huge advantage because all Arabs can speak English.
Absolutely, yeah. That's it, and you find those similarities straight away, and even maybe in terms of you know, are the approach to people as well. You say build that connection and use those stories, because the majority of Irish people are fairly good storytellers, and if they can tell that story about a product or a service, really the sky's the limit there. So look, it sounds absolutely fascinating, and many, many opportunities there again. Ahmad Yunus, CEO of the Arab Irish Chamber of Commerce, thank you so much for coming on this evening, and it looks like a good news story that will continue to deliver for Midlands and Irish businesses.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Sure. So if you are a Midlands business there and you're looking for opportunities, and maybe you need to cast your eyes a little bit further than you had done before, and Mr. Yunus just pointed out really some ways you can go about that. Like always, it's back to the people and the connections and developing those connections and cultivating them over time and creating those business relationships. But just listen to the amount of support agencies that are already there. They've got a presence on the ground and they can help you. And even an organisation like the Arab-Irish Chamber of Commerce, they're based in Dublin, can maybe help you make those initial contacts as well. So look at something for you to ponder and something to look at and consider as you begin to strategise for 2023 and beyond. You might have caught the ad there just before the break ended, but Midlands 103 in partnership with Electric Ireland Superhomes are proud to present the Midlands' first and only Green Home and Energy Expo, taking place in Tullamore Court Hotel this Sunday, the 12th of February, 2023, from 1 to 6pm. The event is entirely free to attend and it'll be crammed with loads of exhibitors, and it'll look at things like innovations in building technologies, alternative sources for home and business heating, particularly ones that have a minimum impact on the environment, new technology in the motor industry, and also come into play as Ireland strives to meet its reductions in greenhouse gas emissions. So given the way price has risen in energy over the last number of years, I can imagine it's going to be of huge interest to a lot of you. Special guest on the day will be Hugh Wallace of Douglas Wallace Architects in Dublin, and also one of the presenters in RTÉ's Home of the Year. And Hugh was speaking to Will Faulkner on Midlands Today earlier today, and Will began by asking Hugh, as an architect, are they less concerned with retrofitting and more concerned with new builds? Here's what Hugh had to say on this and about the show coming up on Sunday.
I personally believe that this show is going to show what you can do with an existing home, because if you like, all the new homes are built to a rated standard anyway, and the opportunity here is by using a one-stop shop such as Electric Ireland Superhomes, you can get the expertise and knowledge to go and refurbish your existing buildings, whatever their age, and that's very important. And there are huge grants available. You know, there's up to 27,500 in total. And it is about having a one-stop shop to maximise the grants that you can get, particularly on refurbishment or putting extensions and refurbishment onto existing homes.
And are there some types of property that lend themselves to the retrofit more than others? I'm thinking, for instance, if a older building has solid stone wall, how do you insulate solid stone walls, for instance, as opposed to something with a cavity design that hasn't been insulated quite to the same standard as today?
Well, I think Dave will take up the technical. Basically, put a inner wall inside the existing wall. You allow the original wall to breathe so that you don't have rising damp. And if you like, inside that, you have a new partition wall, and within that wall is all your air tightness and your insulation. And that's how you're able to bring old homes up to, and if not a B2, perhaps beyond. And at that point, you can then use air to water as the form of heating. And that's ultimately where we all need to get to.
Now, what about chimneys? Because when you look at your BER, if you have an open fire, that's often mentioned as a flaw, and it's something that can be remedied and you'll improve your BER. But people are very attached, especially in rural Ireland, to having the open fire. How big a sin is it?
It's a big sin. Let's be honest, an open fire just sucks the air out of the home. So what you need to do is replace your open fire with a stove. And that means that you can seal the house in terms of air loss and loss of air. But also a stove is just so much more efficient.
So the ground to be covered next Sunday, rather broad. Will you be open to questions afterwards, gentlemen?
Absolutely. That will be the exciting bit.
Well, we look forward to seeing you at the Electric Ireland Superhomes Midlands 103 Green Home and Energy Show next Sunday.
As I say, entry is entirely free as well. Lots of experts and lots of expertise on show on that day, and plenty for you if you're looking at upgrading or renovating or just, you know, making your home much more energy efficient. Time for me to vacate now. Talk to you all next week from 7.
Taking Care of Business returns next Tuesday at 7pm with the local enterprise offices of Leash, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.